Hi and welcome to Working Well. I'm Suzanne McCabe from Life Switch Coaching, and this podcast is about helping you to thrive in your career and your life. If you want to overcome workplace stress, build your confidence, and get work-life balance back in your life, then this podcast is for you. Today, the discussion is on how to speak up at meetings, and I've got the pleasure of talking to Charlotte Crabtree, a career coach who helps mid-level professionals build successful, satisfying careers. Charlotte, it's great to have you on the show. Can you tell us about what got you started into career coaching in the first place?
Yeah, hi Suzanne, thank you so much for having me. It's lovely to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
I have been running my own career coaching business for the past year, but actually my experience in the corporate world spans across almost around a decade, really. So I started out in event management. Mm-hmm. I did event management at university, and then I worked in the pharmaceutical and medical communications world, really, for the past number of years. So I had a fairly successful career. I've worked my way up through the ranks. I've started in kind of, you know, entry-level project coordinator roles and worked my way up through project management, account management, and my last role was in operations management. So as I've kind of grown with my career, I've obviously taken on more and more line management responsibility. And what I really found that I was enjoying the most with my role towards the end was actually my relationships with the teams that I was working with and supporting them day to day with things that they were struggling with. My career path actually has been one of quite a lot of job hopping. So I struggled with burnout quite early on, and I would, you know, find myself just really frustrated and venting all the time and complaining about my boss or the workload or this, that, and the other. And I would every time think, oh, well, it must just be this company. It'll be different somewhere else. So I would job hop and move somewhere else and level up each time, which was great. But I never really got that kind of sense of satisfaction. I never really felt like I was making it work for myself until much nearer the end, when I realized that actually all of these things that are triggering me, everything that I'm finding frustrating is things that I need to work on myself.
Right.
So that's where my kind of personal development journey began, which also kind of ties up with when I started managing more people. So I really kind of developed quite quickly a lot of sense of responsibility, accountability for how I was showing up at work, which really helped me to support other people to do the same thing. So now my career coaching actually really focuses on helping people to find fulfillment and satisfaction and success with where they already are. Uh-huh. And there's obviously, you know, there are times when it's appropriate to move on, but what I find is that moving on to a new job is really exciting and fulfilling when you're moving from a place of contentment with yourself and what you already have, and you're ready for more rather than moving out of desperation.
Right, of course. Well, Charlotte, we're talking today about speaking up in meetings. Mm-hmm. And many people find it difficult to make a point during a meeting. What are the main reasons behind this?
Meetings are very different experiences for everybody, really. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously we're in a world now where we're doing a lot of online meetings, but even kind of gatherings in general, there is always a different dynamic depending on who's there, and it depends on the culture of the company that you're in, the topic of the meeting, all sorts of factors come into play. So really being able to assess and understand and engage with the dynamic of the meeting that you're in can be really difficult for a lot of different people. One topic that I know we're going to talk about a lot today is imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. Which is something that I'm sure half of your listeners will be like, oh yeah, I know what that is, that's me, and the other half will probably resonate with kind of the description of it but may not have come across the term as such. So
okay,
imposter syndrome is sounds like a disease, and it's absolutely not. It's more of a way of describing a way that you're feeling, which is often down to conditioning and experiences and things like that. But if you're struggling with imposter syndrome, you will generally be feeling like you don't deserve to be where you are, or you don't belong in the position that you're in.
Yes.
So some ways in which that can show up would be, for example, if you're sitting in a meeting, mm-hmm. you're looking around the table and thinking, oh goodness, everyone else is way more intelligent than me, or you know, I have an idea, or I have something that I'd like to say, but I don't really have the authority to interrupt the conversation here. Or, you know, perhaps if you're having a bit of anxiety or worrying about saying the wrong thing, or looking silly, or being judged, and being judged either for getting it wrong or for getting it right. And that's mm-hmm. kind of another dynamic that goes into it as well. So imposter syndrome is a huge thing that shows up for a lot of people. Other things are kind of like thinking about personality types and, you know, being shy or having nerves or social anxiety, all different kinds of things like that can really pull into play and make it difficult to really show up and bring your contribution to a meeting.
I mean, I'm thinking about maybe myself in this case, but, you know, a lot of us are introverts. Mm-hmm. And for example, I used to work in a team with many talented people who were very forthright in their opinion, and while I always admired their ability to get what they wanted to say out there, I often had something to say too, but I didn't want to interrupt. And you mm-hmm. were referring to that just a minute ago. I'm sure other introverts will identify with that. So do you have any suggestions for overcoming that situation?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm an introvert myself as well, so I feel like we're teaming up here.
Yes.
And it's interesting because a lot of people think that introverts are very shy or very timid or very nervous. And while it can come across that way, being an introvert is absolutely a superpower. There is so much strength in being an introvert. And I would say definitely never underestimate an introvert. Don't mistake quietness for shyness or inability or lack of intelligence.
Uh-huh.
Although, you know, there have been negative connotations around it, and that's kind of probably something that contributes to things like imposter syndrome. Or, you know, if you feel like you have a reputation for being quite quiet, then it would be out of character if you just speak up in a meeting and things like that. So I definitely understand that feeling, having been there myself.
Uh-huh.
But what I want to say to your particular question, first of all, you're not wrong to not want to interrupt somebody. Like, mm-hmm. that's just good manners, essentially. So there's nothing wrong with not wanting to interrupt. What I would say is, especially as an introvert, this is something that introverts will be really good at when you focus on it, is looking for the gap. So find the patterns of how people are talking, what their behavior is, who's looking to each other, where is there a space for you to contribute. And something that can be really really difficult when you try to contribute, when you are feeling quite unsure about it, is uh-huh. if you start speaking and somebody else carries on talking over you, that can be so hard.
Mm-hmm.
So looking for this gap first of all, but then making some kind of a signal. So whether that's physically, you know, putting your hand up, like not necessarily like in a classroom, like waving it around, but making some kind of physical gesture to suggest that you're about to say something.
Yeah, some body language, yeah.
Or simply saying, I agree, or how about, and then just pausing. So you're kind of making a statement and then allowing everyone else to acknowledge that you're about to say something, and then give you that space to do it in your own way, in your own time, without having to kind of shout or raise your voice or be talking over somebody else. So that's a really good one to try. If this is something that happens often, so if you're in meetings kind of multiple times a day, or every day you're feeling, oh, I've got another meeting, I'm going to have something to say, I'm not going to be able to find a way to say it, think about preparing in advance and even communicating some points that you think you might like to make in advance to the host of the meeting, or your boss, or a colleague, somebody who you might feel has more authority in the meeting, or even talk to people casually before the meeting starts, so they know that you're going to have something to talk about, because right, that kind of, yeah, it sets the tone. And even if you don't get the opportunity to say it, you then have an opportunity to follow up and say, we didn't get around to this, but this is what I wanted to share.
Right. Okay. So you're finding a way to get your point across. And if you don't get the opportunity in the meeting itself, then you can follow up later. Or perhaps you've had a conversation with a couple of people before the meeting started. So at least you have a couple of people who know where you're coming from and you feel heard. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Almost like creating an ally or planting a mole in the meeting. Uh-huh. If you say to somebody that, you know, perhaps is chairing, I'd really like to talk about this. I've really got an idea about this. Can you make sure that I have some time to talk about it? Just get somebody on your side. And I think one of the things my clients struggle with quite a lot is actually not knowing that they can ask for what they need at work. And actually just outright saying to somebody, I really want to contribute to this meeting, but I find it difficult with all these personalities or with the way that the meeting normally runs. Can you make sure that I have some time? And actually just asking for what you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that a lot. It can be challenging. You were talking about the gap. It can be challenging to find that gap when you've got a lot of very opinionated personalities and they're just jumping in very quickly after one another. And I'm thinking maybe it might take a few meetings with a group like that to spot how best to jump in and make your point, or as you say, maybe you take the opportunity before the meeting or after the meeting. So yeah, there's different options there. So you highlighted imposter syndrome, Charlotte, and this idea that people don't feel good enough to be where they are. And it's a lack of self-belief. So how can they build a confidence in themselves in the context of speaking up in meetings?
The first thing I would say is to think about adopting a learning mindset. And what I mean by that is accepting that you don't know everything and that's okay. Accepting that every day our experiences shape us. We learn something new, we change our minds, we progress, we grow, we develop. And being at work and being in these meetings is no different. If you already knew everything, what would you have to be working towards? Where would you be progressing?
Yes, exactly.
And actually, a lot of clients that I work with, they'll say that they're having trouble speaking up in meetings, or they're not quite sure, they're feeling unconfident. And we'll talk about other people that speak up in meetings or ask questions or show that they don't know the answer to something. And 9 times out of 10, they'll say, oh, you're the most senior person in the meeting actually didn't know this. And then I'll say, well, and how did that go down? What happened? And they'll say, oh, well, they just asked the question and they got the answer. And it's almost about building that evidence that it is safe for you to ask questions. The other thing really about asking questions rather than necessarily contributing ideas is that questions by definition can't be wrong. So if you go into a meeting with this learning mindset and, you know, keen to sponge up other people's experiences and ideas and contribute to the conversation rather than feeling like you have to be the expert, it can make all the difference in how much you're engaging with that conversation.
I love that. Just this idea that asking a question can't be wrong. And hopefully that would give some people who wouldn't want to voice their opinion the opportunity to open up discussion and feel that they're contributing to the meeting and therefore build their confidence. And the fact that they've come to you as a career coach already shows that they've got a learning mindset. So it's already there and they're just building on that really, aren't they? So can we talk about Zoom for a bit, or Teams or Google Hangout? Personally, I use Zoom and I've found it positive, as I generally meet people one-to-one. And if I attend events, I find other attendees are good at taking turns to input into the discussion. However, that's at odds with the experience that I mentioned earlier, which was a team meeting with others in the same room. And I'm thinking people having to meet their team via Zoom might have a very different experience. What do your clients tell you about their experiences on Zoom and these other platforms? And how do you help them perform better in an online meeting?
Yeah, it's a very different dynamic. Very, very different dynamic to being in person, because when I was saying before, you know, maybe you would make a physical gesture or move or signal that you want to say something. It's very, very difficult to do that in an online meeting setting, especially if people don't have their cameras on as well, or if somebody's internet is lagging or they're a bit behind and things like that. What I would say is to actually really make use of the features of the platform that you're using.
Okay.
So things like making sure that everybody is on mute so there isn't a load of people talking over each other. Unmuting yourself can also kind of indicate that you're going to say something and things like that. But also, most of these platforms have a chat function. And I think that's something that's really underutilized, because it's a great way to contribute to something that's being said. So if two people are having a discussion, you can kind of chip in and say, oh yeah, I agree with that, or yeah, that makes total sense, or what about this? And you can kind of ask your questions that way. But you can also use the chat to say, I have a really big point on this, or I'd really like to talk about this, or can I have 2 seconds to you know, contribute? So really using the features of the online platforms and use them to their full capacity, because those features have been designed to support what's missing from the in-person interaction.
Right. And I'm actually wondering, Charlotte, for people who are a bit more introverted, are some of those clients actually finding it easier to be on Zoom and use the chat facility, because they can express themselves a bit easier?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, different people prefer different settings. For us introverts, these big group meetings can be really draining for our energy. So actually being able to kind of sit back a little bit, whether it's in person or online, but be able to sit back and kind of take notes and listen to the conversation, taking that pressure off yourself from having to contribute, can make a really big difference too. But yeah, there are many people who actually quite enjoy just kind of sitting back and using those features. What I would say is, and I say this to many people who are struggling with confidence, is think about connecting to the purpose of what you're trying to achieve. So rather than worrying about what people are thinking of you, or what you'll sound like if you say this, or whether people are judging you if you say something or don't say something, think about why you're there, what the purpose is, what you can achieve out of it, what the result is that you're all working towards together, because that is what is more important than what people think of you, what you said or didn't say.
Right. Okay. So I guess maybe keeping that in mind, focusing on that purpose, might help someone to get through the anxiety they might feel about a meeting, whether it be in person or on an online platform.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Listen, Charlotte, we've learned a lot from you today. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me.
And you've clearly got lots of experience in helping people like myself who have found it hard to just jump in and make the point. And you've given us some great strategies in terms of, you know, maybe making your point before or after the meeting, if it's online, putting it in the chat window, and keeping focus on the purpose of the meeting, which sort of takes the focus off yourself. So
yeah, and the pressure.
And the pressure, absolutely. So tell me, where can we find out more about you and what you do, Charlotte?
So you can find my full story, where I've kind of come from, my experience, my qualifications, the kind of people that I work with, and obviously all the information about the different services that I offer on my website, charlottecrabtree.com. Mm-hmm. If you want to connect with me, I'm always in the DMs, so you can reach me on LinkedIn. My extension is Charlotte Crabtree Official, or on Instagram, I am at Career Talk with Charlotte. Also, I'd love to mention that I do have a free download at the moment. So it's a PDF guide all about confidence hacks to help you crush your next meeting. So if any of your listeners would like to download that, it's at charlottecrabtree.com/5-confidence-hacks. And they can download that right away and start using those extra tips from today.
Oh, Charlotte, thanks very much for that freebie. I appreciate it.
No problem.
So listen, the wisdom and experience you've given us today has been fantastic. Thank you. So take care, and I look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
If you'd like to know more about what I do here at Life Switch Coaching, then you can go to my website at www.lifeswitchcoaching.com, or you can email me at Suzanne@lifeswitchcoaching.com. That's Susanne@lifeswitchcoaching.com. Thanks very much for listening, and take care.